Welcome to our service for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. We continue today our readings in the book of Ephesians, as St. Paul reaches the climax of his exposition there of the inexhaustible riches of our Christian inheritance. He would have approved of the first two lines of our first hymn. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. So to our time of penitence. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 4. A man came bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Here ends the reading. Our second reading continues our exploration of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory and in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to hear two modern songs now by the writer Brian Durkin. The first is Faithful One So Unchanging. It was a favourite of our late friend Richard Ivanek. He read it on one of the occasions when he was able to lead this online service. The second, again by Durkin, is probably my favourite of all the modern worship songs, Purify My Heart.
Times of trouble. to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire. Set apart for you, Lord, I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my Master, ready to do.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jane and I have got to that stage of life when we spend some time thinking about the inheritance that we will leave to our family, in terms of money and property, how much we'll have to leave them and how to make sure we do it fairly and so on. How do we organise this as a family? At the beginning of our reading today, the Apostle Paul makes a rather strange reference to family. He says, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. It's not just an aside, I think. The image of fatherhood is important to Paul's understanding of the gospel. At one level, of course, this comes straight from the teaching of Jesus. It was Jesus who had called God by the family name Abba, a word like our dad or daddy or dada in Welsh. Paul taught his converts that they too were children of the Father. They had received the Spirit of Jesus. God sent the Spirit of Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father, he writes. More than that, Paul thought of his converts as his own children. He is their father, or perhaps even, indeed, more like their mother. My little children, he writes to the Galatians, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Inheritance is an important part of this thinking. He tells the Galatians, in this respect, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And just as Jane and I have got to this stage of thinking about our children's inheritance, so Paul, in this passage, is thinking about the inheritance of the children of God. The first thing that we see here is that he believes that his children will have an inheritance which comes from the inexhaustible riches of the glory of God. I pray that in accordance with the riches of his glory, he begins. We were looking last week in some services, the reading of the incredible sense that Paul has that by the cross of Christ, God has done something wonderfully new, creating one new humanity of Jew and Gentile, in which every person, whatever their race or previous religion, can become in Christ the brother or sister of every other human being. reconciled to their heavenly Father by the love of Jesus expressed at Calvary. And here we see again that the children's inheritance is one which is to be shared. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints, writes Paul. All the saints, one new people, united by the love of Christ, a love which is absolutely fundamental to their new life. They are to be, he says, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. This shared inheritance, which comes from the inexhaustible riches of the glory of God, is one of huge dimensions. I pray that you may comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's that last phrase which is completely mind-blowing and with which I found myself wrestling in preparing for this sermon, wrestling with it because it seems impossible to do it justice. What can it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? I mean, you'd explode, wouldn't you? How could the human soul and spirit bear the glorious weight of an inheritance as full as that? How can we understand, in the very humdrum lives that we all live most of the time, that we are promised an inheritance like that? It's important to say, first, that Paul knew perfectly well that this was unimaginable. Now to him, he writes, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. I'm still not really sure how to express it, but there are just a few pointers to how Paul can say or even imagine such a thing that we can glean from some of his other writing. The first point is, in essence, a simple one. Paul believed in, and you and I believe in, one human being in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Have this mind among yourselves, Paul writes to the Philippians, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you want to know the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, then it is to Christ Jesus that you must look. It's still incomprehensible. It surpasses knowledge. These words made me think of Mary Shackleton's hymn to the wonderful tunes of Ira D. Sankey. It passeth knowledge, that dear love of thine, my Saviour Jesus, yet this soul of mine would of thy love, in all its breadth and length, its height and depth and everlasting strength, know more and more. If I dared, I'd sing it to you like an old Methodist revivalist preacher. What you'd hear is in that penultimate line, its height and depth and everlasting strength, the tune soars and the harmony changes and the meter becomes unexpected. Sankey often wrote by improvisation. I wouldn't be surprised to find that he improvised that line. The first three lines of the tune are humdrum, to be honest, but it suddenly takes off as he reflects on the everlasting strength of the love of Christ in all its cosmic dimensions. There's always more to God. There's always more to know. God hath yet more light and truth to break out of his holy word, said the 17th century Puritan preacher John Robinson to the Pilgrim Fathers as they prepared to leave for the New World. There are always more riches to be drawn on. Not that I have already obtained all this, wrote Paul to the Philippians, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There is always more to know, always further to walk in our discipleship of Christ. So far as we can tell from the passage we have before us today, Paul thinks of this inheritance as a fundamentally interior experience. One of the things I think that he came more and more to realize, and again this comes straight from the teaching and example of Jesus, is that true faith and true discipleship begin within the heart. Paul came from a faith that set great store by the external sign of circumcision, and those who opposed his mission insisted that his Gentile converts must be circumcised before they could be included in the covenant people of God. But as he moved and worked more and more among people who were not circumcised, Paul realized for himself the truth that Jesus had taught, that true faith was a matter of heart and soul and mind. It is in the heart and mind and soul of God's children, who are also Paul's own children, it is within our heart and mind and soul that the Holy Spirit can touch us and we can fully experience the riches of our true inheritance. This inner life will have an outward expression, of course. Paul calls this the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it is the inner life of the Spirit which sustains it. I pray, he writes here, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is the inheritance which Paul longs for his children, the only inheritance in which true wealth is to be found. It is the promise and hope of that inheritance which sustains him through his many trials and troubles, and drives him forward to promise it to more and more of the children of God. And if we will open our hearts to the inexhaustible riches of the glory of God, it will be the inheritance which sustains us in our own walk with God too. Amen.
Story of the Christ.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tad der hanoitel nevoith sanctedia de enu, de led de dernas gunela de wachlis, megis en ene vechli ar ddear hebyd. Der on i heddiw ein barab ein yddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the Father of all people. We come before you today with our prayers, knowing that you will hear us, help us, and guide us. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, in a confusing world where truth is often difficult to discern, may it be your words to which we turn. Be our confidence within uncertainty. Your word, our peace. Your truth, our reality. In your name, Amen. We pray for the life of the Church. Dear Lord, as we begin the journey of pruning for growth in our diocese, we ask for your guidance with the difficult decisions ahead. We pray for our Bishop Dorian, our Archdeacon Eileen, our LMA Dean John, and we pray for Matthew, Fran and Judith, and for all the volunteers who give of their time to keep our churches going. We pray for ourselves and our church here in Newquay. Make us more sensitive to others and to their needs. Make us more ready to help and to show we care. Lord, make us a loving church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the needs of the world. We pray for all parts of the world where there is conflict and violence. We remember especially the people of Ukraine, the people of Gaza, and of the Sudan, as they continue to fight for their freedom. And we pray for the hard-pressed aid agencies as they bring food and supplies to the troubled areas of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our new government. Father, we lift up to you our newly elected leaders and government officials. Grant them wisdom, integrity, and a spirit of service as they undertake their duties. May they be guided by a commitment to the common good and the welfare of all citizens. May they govern with compassion, humility, and a sense of responsibility towards the most vulnerable and marginalised in our society. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the well-being of our community. At the start of the summer holidays, we ask your blessing on all our local businesses and pray that they will have a successful summer season. We pray that all our visitors to Newquay will have a safe and happy holiday. And we pray for the staff and volunteers of the RNLI here in Newquay. We pray for the crews of the lifeboats, the lifeguards, and all who risk their own safety to bring help to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for all who need love this day, for the sick and the sad, the sorrowing and the bereaved. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we remember those who have died and those who are bereaved. We remember with gratitude those who have left their mark on our lives by giving us love and laughter, but have gone before us to be with Christ, keep us faithful to them as you are faithful to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now to God's gracious mercy we commend you. The Lord be gracious to you and bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.